Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I'm going to be reading from the NLT. You may be NIV or New King James, but I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 18 says of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, be thankful in all circumstances. Don't miss that. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances. For that's God's will for all of us who say we're saved. Yeah. Father God, we come before your presence once again in Jesus' name just to say thank you. We thank you, God, for allowing us this another day. Open up our eyes to have activity of our limbs, to have a right mind. Food on the table, a roof over our heads, family that we love and cherish, God. We thank you, God, for salvation this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be amongst the land of the living. There's so many people that laid their heads down last night and never woke up to see another day. With that being said, that means you have purpose for each and every one of us under the sound of our voice. There's no wasted time. So, Lord, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Bless those that are in-house. Bless those that are watching via social media. Convict, convince, and convert. Lord, speak with my mouth. Think with my mind. You know what your people need to hear and how they need to hear it. We say yes to your will, your word, and your way. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. With thanksgiving always, let all of God's people say amen, amen, and amen. I want to talk around the thought, the idea this morning, an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude means thankfulness with a grateful heart. Understand that your attitude, my attitude, our attitude has a major part in determining whether or not you will give thanks to God for the many blessings that he bestows upon us. Attitude. Amen. Attitude, when we look, what is an attitude? Every one of us has one. There's good attitudes and bad attitudes. I'd venture to say, do you know anybody on your job that's got a bad attitude? You know about anybody in your house that's got a bad attitude? You know anybody in the church that's got a bad attitude? See, attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. That's usually reflected in your behavior. Your attitude will reflect what you think, how you think, and who you're thinking about or not thinking about. Attitude has to do with having a certain kind of mindset. An attitude implies or reveals the status of a man or woman's mental health condition. And you've heard me say this before. We kind of put mental health issues only on certain people. But all of us have mental health issues. Some are just more pronounced and defined and deeper than others. But all of us have mental health situations. And God does not promise us an exemption from mental or emotional challenges. Hello, somebody. I'd like to think, yeah, God, since I'm saved, since I'm preaching, and since I'm trying to help everybody, Lord, you'll give me a pass. God said, no. Contrary to that, the more you do for God, the more hell you're going to catch in doing what you're doing. Hello, somebody. He doesn't promise us an exemption from mental health challenges, but he does promise, listen, to be with us through it all. Amen, somebody. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, here we go. If we draw near to God, park right there for a moment. A lot of us are not drawn near to God until we get desperate. You don't wait until you're desperate to get near to God. You ought to wake up in the morning wanting to be near God. He's the one that starts us all on our way. He's the one that keeps us safe from danger seen and unseen. He's the one that gives us a new set of mercies each and every day. James says, if we draw near to him, if conditional, he will draw near to us. In other words, God won't force himself on us. Some people will, well, why didn't God? No, God says, you got to invite me in. I'll knock on the door, but you invite me in. Yeah. It's through our prayers that God meets us in our suffering. You heard me mention this Thursday, we celebrate Thanksgiving, and I heard a preacher say, some people don't even have a word of prayer before they eat. Somebody said, when you think of Thanksgiving, what's the major thing you think about? Out here, when you think of turkey, I'll tell it for turkey and food. When you hear about Thanksgiving, that's the first thing that usually comes to mind. Turkey, food, or whatever you're going to eat. Most people don't think about thankfulness. Some places, they don't even take the time to pray. Or they'll say, Lord, bless this food we're about to partake in, and let's eat. There's more to it than that. The food that you got on the table to eat, you didn't automatically have it to eat. Hello, somebody. We take, not you, but there's so many people that take so much for granted. The job that you had is because you have is because of the Lord. The right mind that you have is because of the Lord. I said it's through our prayers that God meets us in our suffering. He points us towards his promises and he answers our cries for help. And remember, I said in the past, to one degree or another, again, we all have to deal with mental and emotional challenges. But because God is so good, when you know that you know that you know God is good, you can't help but have an attitude of gratitude. Is any grateful folk in here this morning? Out there, is anybody grateful this morning? Because if you can't thank God for the little things, why would he want to do anything we call big things? We can't forget to say thanks or to give thanks to show because God is blessing us even right now as we speak. And understand this also. You and I are not defined by what's going on, your troubles in life. Remember, you and I are not defined by the troubles and struggles that we experience. What are you saying, Pastor? We're talking about Thanksgiving. Listen, do you not know that the enemy, if he has his way, he'll have you focused on what you don't have and who has more than you do and how you're struggling and all? You got to thank God for what you do have. Am I remember? I said, am I right about you? You got to take this out because I've been guilty of this. Let's just say this. I've been guilty of times when I thought other churches and other pastors, Lord was blessing them as if they didn't have any problems until I talked to them. And I said, not you. No, everybody's got issues. Everybody's got problems. Some just can hide them more than others, better than others. Am I right about it? I said, you don't allow your circumstances, your problems, your troubles to keep you from giving praise and honor and glory to God. You don't allow your stuff to keep you from being grateful. Am I right about it? I said, we're not defined by our troubling experiences. Understand also, too, when we talk about an attitude of gratitude, Paul doesn't tell us to give thanks for everything. I've said this before. He says no, or he doesn't say give thanks for everything or every circumstance. No, he says give thanks in everything. I'm not thanking God for my car breaking down, But in spite of my car being broken down, in that instance, I'm still thanking him. Because it could be worse. Paul is saying, you can't look for happiness or satisfaction in your circumstances. Hello, somebody. Sometimes in our relationships, we're looking for satisfaction and happiness in our relationships. I'm working on and I'm looking for some marriage enrichment stuff, guys, that are married. But I'm looking at some stuff. We seem to think, don't you know God puts imperfect people together? Imperfect people with flaws, attitudes, shortcomings together to work together. Y'all gonna have to come to the marriage day. He puts imperfect people to. Why does God do that? First of all, because there's no perfect people. Y'all missed that. Y'all look for something deep. Why does he put imperfect people? All of us got issues. I've got mine, but you've got yours. Everybody got issues. That's why I said everybody's got a mental case. Some are deeper. Amen. I don't care how I've said before in seminary when I was working on my doctorate degree, the professors would be teaching class on relationships and that kind of thing and start crying because they still had mental health issues dealing with stuff, emotional, and start crying. Everybody, nobody's exempt. Remember your circumstances or the things or conditions that play a part in determining your outcome, how you respond. The secret of your contentment isn't found in your circumstances. You don't have to have a contentment in having a lot of money. There's people that have a lot of money that are miserable. Hello, somebody. You can have a lot of other stuff and be miserable. But contentment is recognizing who Christ is in your life. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I don't have to be having all what you have and coveting somebody else. No, I've learned to be content where I am right now. I'm not talking about somebody that's not a go-getter, but when I've done all that I can do, then there's no more I can do, so I have to trust God that where I am is where he wants me, because every situation has purpose. God will put you in a situation not because it's a good situation, but he's trying to teach you something. We talk about fruit of the Spirit. God might put you in an imperfect place and to show you how to be patient. And when you learn how to be patient, then God will give you what you're looking for. But you might be holding up what God wants for you in your relationship. Verse 12 of Philippians chapter 4 says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned, understand, I have learned, it's a process. It's a continuing, ongoing process. The secret of living in every situation. Every one of us in here now is dealing with some kind of situation, directly or indirectly. Hello, somebody. God knows about your situation, but he's trying to see how you're going to handle it. Hello, somebody. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Here it is, verse 13, Philippians 4. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I don't want to deal with what I'm dealing with. I told y'all some while ago, for the last 2 weeks I've been under pressure. Extreme pressure. What you preaching for? Because God called me to preach in season and out of season. Whether I felt like it or don't feel like it. Whether you want to hear it or don't hear it. Everybody goes, I'm not going to relinquish my responsibility and by my fulfill what God told me fulfill just because I'm catching hell. Because the hell I'm catching is going to make me stronger. Somebody got to learn how to preach through some stuff. You got to work through some stuff. We looking for this ideal, this imperfect people don't deserve to have all the stuff laid out at your feet. God allows things in our lives. All I've been saying is to help us to grow, to be more like him. To be more like Christ. See, you find out how Christ-like you are when you have situations and stuff that you're confronted with. That's what really shows where you are in Christ. When you're dealing with stuff, what your response, your reaction really can tell. See, we know the passage. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. We say it, we quote it, but why don't we believe it? What you and I are going through, and guess what? I was experiencing a situation, can't tell too much, it's too much to be told. But I was experiencing a situation the other day. I'm going to tell you, God turned around. That's the theme for the women. I heard that he'll turn it around. Don't you know God will turn your situation around if you handle it right?
That's right.
Anybody, y'all don't know that God will turn your situation around. Well, I was facing a situation. And what I did, I sat down. And I said, what do I preach on Sunday? What do I tell the folk how to do? God says, you tell them this, that, you quote this, that, and the other. I said, guess what, God? You're telling me right now to practice what I preach and to preach what I practice. I sat down and started talking to the Lord, and God turned it around.
Yeah.
He turned the situation around. I don't have to tell you what. He turned it around. This stuff ain't no fairy tale. You got to do, not a hero, but a doer of God's word. I tell you, I said to the Lord, I'm going to shout more and more and more because I know you got me.
Yeah.
I know you got this church.
Yeah.
I know you got it.
Yeah.
And God says, what more? How much do I have to do to let you to know that I got this?
Yeah.
Am I right about it? With that being said, we know that gratitude helps us realize all we have comes from the Lord. Gratitude strengthens our faith by reminding us of God's faithfulness in the past and present. Hello, somebody. Gratitude in the Bible refers to the ability, listen, to show thanks for the things you have and the things you're grateful for. You heard me say a few minutes ago, is anybody grateful? Hands ought to shoot up. Grateful, grateful. That you don't you know it takes strength to sit down in a chair and strength to get up? You need strength to do that? Don't you know to lift your hand up, you need strength to do that? There's some people that can't lift the hand or they can't lift it all the way up. If you can lift your hand, wave your hand, somebody. Let me see if you can wave your hand. That's something to be thankful for. Because everybody can't do it. Gratitude is a positive response to experiencing God's goodness and grace. Am I right about it? In other words, once you realize that God is working in your life, you'll show gratefulness in how you live. Hello, somebody. Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel, listen, each other. God wants us to help each other in this growth thing. We can't be relying on one to do it all, and you're not supposed to do it all. In a relationship, you're both supposed to bring something to the table. Oh, my God. What are you bringing to the table? We can't be expecting somebody else to be doing all this, and you're not. Remember, we're imperfect people. We all got shortcomings. We all got flaws. We all have hang-ups. We all got little niches. We all got, y'all looking at me ugly. I don't like it. We all got problems. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, fill your lives, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful heart. When you're going through, that's a good time to start praising him.
That's right.
I've got a feeling. Everything's gonna be all right. Oh, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Oh, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. be all right, be all right, be all right. That just burst out. You got to be able to do that sometimes. You said you can't sing. You know you get in the shower, sound like you sound real good. That word be reverbing off them walls. Everybody look, think you're a superstar when you get in the shower stall. Man, you sound like you're holding the voice and everything. But you got to sing to yourself. You got to encourage yourself. A person with a grateful attitude will usually show the fruit of the Spirit in his or her life. Galatians chapter 5, as I hasten on, verses 22 to 24 says, in verse 22 of Galatians 5, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Here we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Verse 23 adds gentleness and self-control. We could preach just on that. I don't feel like loving him or her right now. Okay? What's your feeling got to do with obedience to God? He didn't tell you, you don't have to feel love in order to love. You love in spite of how you feel. And after a while, God will allow your feelings to catch up with what you don't have. Y'all missed it. We waiting to feel something. My wife don't feel like loving me sometimes. But I go to my corner and she go to hers. Amen. You got to sometimes break. Take a little break. Yeah. I didn't say go out and hang out. Go upstairs. Go downstairs. Go sit on the porch. Or say, you know, when it's warm. And let God nurture you. Let God speak to you. And when it's time, you'll come back together. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit. That only manifests when you're submitted and yielded to the Holy Spirit. Amen, somebody. One of the most pressing things I hear most people talk about and most difficult is patience.
Yeah.
I have struggled. Anybody else struggle with patience waiting? Anybody other than ever felt like you just wait too long?
Yeah.
And you know, feel like God, I know, God, I've been waiting on this for so and so and so, how long? You know, but you know what? God will put these two people together in a relationship. And we have to pour. See, some of us come in a relationship empty. And we're looking for the other person to fill it up. That ain't the way it works. You got to bring something too. Amen. Because all of us need to be filled and replenished. Am I right about it? Verse 24 of Galatians 5 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires, listen, of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. I'm talking about an attitude of gratitude. It has to do with thankfulness. And when we forget to give thanks for the blessings in our lives, we allow the troubles of our past and present to define us. God doesn't want that. Psalms 37 verse 24 says, though they stumble, they will never fail or fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. In other words, although we mess up, although we drop the ball sometimes, although we willfully sin, every sin is not a mistake, y'all.
That's right.
Has anybody have sinned deliberately? Only a couple of you.
Yeah.
I cuss somebody out. Deliberately, intentionally, wrong is two left shoes. I told them to get to stepping, but I used another language. Oh man, I'm in trouble. Y'all ain't going. Paul said the thing I said I wasn't going to do no more. I did it again. And Paul was serious about it. I didn't want to do that again. I don't want to say that again. But the thing I said I wasn't going to say because I'm a sinner. Look, the flesh, the old man, the old woman tries to creep back up and rule. Paul got so frustrated. He said, oh, who can deliver me? I'm in a mess. I'm feeling bad because I said I wasn't going to say that no more. I should be thankful, but now I have a bad attitude. You don't want to do that. You want to have a grateful attitude. Because the Bible says if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I know somebody says, why can't I seem to catch a break? Somebody might say everybody's doing better than we are. Somebody might even think God's blessing other people more than me. Every now and then somebody will say, I don't believe God is answering my prayers. But when you have a spirit of ingratitude, you embrace negativism more than positivism. Hello, somebody. A spirit of ingratitude will show up and show out when you begin to doubt or question God's trustworthiness or faithfulness in your life. I don't know about you, but God is always faithful. Yeah. I didn't say sometimes. Yeah. He's always faithful. Yeah. Instead of being thankful and grateful and remembering the many ways God has shown his kindness, if you're not careful, you'll embrace all that negative stuff. But you don't have to stay that way. Because God is good. Not sometimes, but all the time. I remember God leading his people out of Egypt to the promised land. Y'all remember Moses had trouble with the people. They were complaining, griping. God gave them manna from heaven. They complained after a while. They wanted a new diet. He gave them water, and they said it was too bitter. They complained about this, that, and the other, even to the point they said, we'd be better off back where we came from. Moses got frustrated because they started complaining about his leadership or lack of. You know, people love to throw the ball at the leader when hell breaks out, but they don't want to give credit when things seem to be going okay. The people lost sight of what God had done for them, that they even accused Moses of trying to kill them. I said, some of us can relate to that drama that they experienced on their way to the promised land. Because some of them, just like some of us, just like them, have doubts, complaints, and entertain a spirit of ungratefulness. I don't know who God is talking to this morning, but remember, God has a problem with people who forget. We remember what we want to remember, and somehow we forget how good God has been. Deuteronomy 6, as I hasten to a close, verse 20-24 says, in the future, your children will ask, what is the meaning of these laws, decrees, and regulations? In other words, we want to leave and we want to pass on a great legacy. We want to help the people, our families, our friends, our neighbors, our co-laborers in ministry. I'm not going to tell you all what happened, but one of my granddaughters called me the other day. I ain't going to tell Daddy. But I'm glad she calls me. She calls her father, she calls her mother, but Pop-Pop's in the equation, and my mom. But she called me and said, Pop-Pop, this, that, and the other. It's about things that are going on in the world. She's in college, 21 years of age. And I gave her some good advice. I text her something, and she texted me back, thank you. What am I saying? When I'm dead and gone, my granddaughter gonna say, I could call on my papa. Yeah, she can call on daddy and mommy. She can call on my mom, but I'm glad that there's a piece of me that's going to be deposited in her life.
Right.
What are you passing on to your children?
Yeah.
What do they see? What legacy are you passing on?
Yeah.
What word from God are you? What lifestyle are you letting them see?
Yeah.
How are you prevailing when trouble comes?
Yeah.
What is your resistance level?
Yeah.
Do you give in too easy? Do you submit to the enemy rather than submit to the Holy Ghost? I'm talking about an attitude of gratitude. When you're thankful and you exude with a grateful heart. Notice that I'm closing. There's some benefits, y'all want to get this, of having an attitude of gratitude. There's some key benefits. Because we always look at God telling me this, that, and can't do that. Well, understand there's some things. When you obey God, it's going to bless you. And you need to get this. One of the benefits of having a thankful heart and an attitude of gratitude is, number one, pride decreases and humility increases. Pride decreases. What is God saying? Some of us are so filled with pride. We think more highly of ourselves than we are. And one of the main stumbling blocks to cultivating a thankful heart is pride. There's a tendency in all of us to take credit for our success. But a thankful heart recognizes that every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4 and 7 says, "For who makes you different from anybody else?" I'm reading the Bible. What do you have that you did not receive? Question. And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? You got to understand, God wants a man or woman who is humbled. Somebody that takes bending knees to get down rather than always trying to stand up. If you bend your knees, God will exalt you in his time. Am I right about it? A thankful spirit is the perfect cure for pride. The proverb says in Proverbs 29 and 23, a man's pride and sense of self-importance will bring him down. But he who has a humble spirit will obtain honor. Let me hasten on. Not only pride decreases and humility increases, but secondly, a benefit of having a thankful, a grateful heart or an attitude of gratitude, when you have that kind of spirit, complaining decreases. And contentment increases. When you're grateful, you don't complain as much. I don't know about you, but do you know anybody? Don't raise no hand. Keep looking at me. Do you know anybody that complains all the time complaining? They can have this, but there's always a but coming in. Yeah, there's that but. No, God doesn't like a complainer. Perpetual, constant complaining. See, complaining decreases and contentment increases when you have a grateful heart. See, complaining is not stating the truth about a particular situation that is genuinely wrong. See, complaining or grumbling is an attitude that questions God's sovereignty over the affairs of our life. Sometimes we blame somebody else for what God is doing. We don't say it, but we're blaming you for the trouble I'm having. And God says, you keep quoting about, I'm in control. I'm still in control in this situation. And since I'm allowing you to go through it, it has purpose. Maybe I'm trying to teach you something. You got to understand, if God loves me, then he'll do what he says. But that's a part of the discipline process also. Amen, somebody. If God loves you, then he's not going to let you do any old thing you want to do. Am I right about it? Not only pride decreases, humility increases. Not only complaining decreases, number two, and contentment increases. But another benefit of an attitude of gratitude, doubt in God decreases and trust in God increases. See, when you have an attitude of gratitude, you don't doubt as much. You take Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3 says, all praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Verse 4 says, he comforts us in all our, here we go, troubles, so that we can comfort other people. And when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. God's got to allow us to go through some stuff so we'll know what we're talking about when we help somebody else. Don't you know people would rather hear somebody that's been there, done that? Hello, somebody. It's not what I heard, it's what I know. In a relationship, married or single, in a relationship, God says you got to go through some stuff. Operative word, through. You're going to get through it. But on your way through it, you got to understand you're going to have to do some stuff. You're going to have to suffer a little while. He comforts us, verse 4, in all our troubles that we can comfort others. And when they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Verse 6, even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for our comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. Verse 10, and he did rescue us. God will rescue you. Anybody been rescued?
Yeah.
Anybody been rescued from the situation, delivered?
Yeah.
He did rescue us from the mortal danger. And he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. But wait a minute, there's one last thing as I close. Not only that pride decreases and humility increases when we have an attitude of gratitude, not only complaining decreases and contentment increases, not only thirdly, doubt in God decreases and trust in God increases. But lastly, the last benefit that I have here, when you trust in him, when you're thankful, worry decreases and peace increases. You worry yourself to death. God says, don't blame that on me, you worry wart. I said, worry wart. Some people just worry all the time. And one of the drawbacks of Christianity or Christians living, some of them too many, is the tendency to have an unhealthy focus on the negatives and not take enough time to thank God for what he is doing.
Yeah,
there's always room for improvement.
Yeah.
But you don't have to look at me or the other person. You got to look in the mirror at yourself.
Yeah.
I'm still a work in progress, but so are you.
Yeah.
Am I right about it?
Yeah.
I said we're imperfect people. So you can't call me the pot called the kettle black. We're both in the same thing. This attitude that people take some time to worry themselves will make you sick. It's a poor testimony. Because people already know you're going through, but they want to see how you handle it. I just finished preaching the series on how to handle pressure. Since God says in this world, we gonna all have pressure.
Yeah.
We gonna all be squeezed.
Yeah.
We all gonna have our backs against the wall.
Yeah.
We gonna all be in situations where unless God do something, there's no way out.
Yeah.
But God is the God that works in the realm of impossibilities. God wants you to get into an impossible situation. He'll push you into an impossible situation that your husband can't help you, your wife can't help you, your money can't help you, your job can't help you, your intelligence can't help you, your school can't help you, nothing can help you. You're in an impossible situation. But that's when God shows up and shows out. He wants you to be where you know that you know that you know that you know that you know. If it had not been for the Lord, I wouldn't have been able to make it. We wouldn't have been able to make it. Am I right about it? The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, don't worry. Who is God talking about this morning too? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then After you've done that, stop worrying. Stop putting worry and pressure on each other. Yeah. Tell God about it. Yeah. Go to prayer. Yeah. Seek God. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them for their sin, and heal their land. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Give him praise. Give him honor. Give him glory. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Attitude of gratitude. As we rest on our feet, those